Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Let's bring in Jimmy Himes now from Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville as Tennessee prepares to play East Tennessee State tomorrow. Home opener for the Volunteers at Neyland Stadium, and we'll have the game for you at 3 o'clock here on The Zone. Jimmy, what's going on?
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
We're doing just fine. I guess one of the big stories of the week was the injury to Brandon Kennedy, the center. How do you see him going about trying to fill that spot this weekend?
Yeah, I think what's going to happen is Ryan Johnson is going to move from guard back to center. He had been working at center most of the spring, and I thought he could be the starter, because one of the thoughts about Kennedy was when Kennedy got here, he'd either be a center or guard. Well, they moved Kennedy to center, and he won the job right away. That moved Johnson to a guard spot. Now I think Johnson will start at center. I think they're going to start a true freshman, Jerome Carvin, at the other guard spot. It could be Riley Locklear, but I think they may be going with Carvin. So I think that's the change that they make with Kennedy's absence.
You know, we talked about, you know, all throughout the offseason leading up to the year, the quarterbacks and so forth. I thought Garantano did some good things in the game against West Virginia. How do you see him divvying up the playing time? I assume things go you know, fairly well against East Tennessee tomorrow.
Well, I think that and the head coach, Jeremy Pruitt, has said that he needs to get Keller Christ in the game because they need to develop a backup. So if this game goes the way I think, and let's say Tennessee has 12 possessions, I would say Garantano would have 8 or 9, and Chris will have the rest. Certainly Tennessee wants to make sure they build up a lead before they put Keller Christ in. But I thought Garantano did some nice things against West Virginia. He hit 76% of his passes. He had a pass or two that could have been caught, and I think he was more decisive. The thing he didn't do was throw the ball downfield much, but I don't think Tennessee asked him to do that much. I think that Tennessee got a little bit concerned about pass protection, and which is one reason I think they didn't take more shots downfield. And the other thing is West Virginia at various times was playing really soft on the corners, and they gave Tennessee the quick hitches or the quick outs, the quick slants. So I think that was one reason Tennessee continued to throw underneath.
Has there been any update on Ty Chandler?
No, there hasn't. He has been at practice. I do not know if he's had any contact at practice. Pruitt has said he is day to day. I think the prudent play is not to play him. I don't think you'll need him against ETSU. I don't think there's any reason to roll the dice and put him out there in that game. I'd give him another week to get ready.
We're on with Jimmy Himes of Sports Radio WNML. ML in Knoxville. And Jimmy, I guess first, is there going to be any changes in the secondary or any surprise on who starts or who plays more than last game?
Well, I asked Jeremy Pruitt on his teleconference on Wednesday if there were any lineup changes, and he said no. So that was just for the team. Now, I don't know if they are going to make any changes or not. It was interesting to me that Sam Schamberger, who I think showed some promise as a defensive back last year, didn't even play in the game. Pruitt explained the reason why is that Schamberger didn't practice well. Schamberger was the starting nickel for most of the spring. So obviously if you don't practice well and you don't practice consistently, you're not going to be on the field. But as far as any other lineup changes in the second half, there could be from this perspective, Tennessee started 5 defensive backs against West Virginia. They may not start 5 against ETSU because ETSU doesn't throw the ball as well as West Virginia. So there's a chance that somebody will not start who started in that game just because they'll have one fewer defensive back.
Not knowing much about ETSU, what do you suspect the score would be at the end of the game?
Oh, I'm looking at around 42-7 Tennessee. ETSU played Mars Hill, beat them 28-7. Mars Hill's run defense was pretty good in that game. They threw the ball pretty well. They got a new quarterback that came in. I think he's a transfer from Temple. He won the starting job and threw for almost 300 yards. But this is a Tennessee should outman this team. And the big difference you usually see in these kind of matchups is at the line of scrimmage. So I would think Tennessee would have its way in that regard. But I don't think Tennessee's a great football team, and I don't think they're going to sit there and roll up 60-something points or 50-something points like some SEC teams did last week.
I see Rick Barnes got an extension. I guess you have any details on the contract and the extension?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. It was interesting. We had actually talked to Rick Barnes a little over a week ago, and we knew that it was coming. And I thought I had reported it would be somewhere in the $3 million. Well, the first year of the new deal, now they made it retroactive to May of this year. The first year is slightly over $3 million, and then he gets a $100,000 raise each year over the next 5 years, which takes it to a maximum of $3.5 million. He gets a $500,000 bonus for winning a national championship, $250,000 for the Final Four, $125,000 for the Elite Eight. He gets $50,000 for winning the SEC regular season, $25,000 for winning the SEC tournament. If he is fired without cause, he would get $1 million for every year left on the contract, which is considerably less than what a lot of other contracts are set out there. A lot of other contracts say you get your entire package with the years left on the deal. That's not the way this is written up. As Tennessee tries to be a little bit more prudent with their buyouts. Some of their buyouts in recent years have been ridiculous.
Where does this put him in the SEC as far as his contract?
On the average, it puts him number two behind Patino. But as far as the first year, he and Tom Crean are really close. I think Crean, who was hired at Georgia, might be making slightly more in year one. I'm not 100% sure of that. But when you average it all out, it puts Rick Barnes at number two, I believe, which is where I think he ought to be. I think based on his resume, you could argue he should be the second highest paid coach in the SEC.
You mean behind Calipari, not Patino, right?
Oh, gosh, yes. Sorry,
Patino's not making that much on this book tour, I don't think.
No, I don't think maybe. So either. Sorry about that. Yeah, and Calipari, by the way, is a distant first. He's like $7.9 million.
Okay.
And then you've got Barnes averages out at about 3.25, and then Crean is in there at about 3.2. I don't know what Patino's making.
He wants to be making $35 million or something like that.
Jimmy, back to football. Randy Sanders comes in as the coach of East Tennessee State, largely because Philip Fulmer helped him get the job, right?
Yeah, he did, and as I think a lot of people know, Philip Fulmer was instrumental in ETSU restarting the program. They had football for a number of years. They dropped it. They restarted it. This is the fourth year they brought it back. Fulmer was a part of that. He helped them hire Carl Torbush in the first place, and I think he gave him some advice on hiring Randy Sanders. I think it's a good hire for him. Randy, I think, will do a nice job there. I think he's a good football coach. I thought he got a bad rap at Tennessee. I think he proved his mettle with the job he did at Kentucky. He was on that Florida State staff that won a national championship, and he was the offensive coordinator. He was the guy that helped develop Jameis Winston at quarterback, and he coached for 1 year with Jeremy Pruitt, who was a defensive coordinator, the year the Seminoles won the national title.
Jimmy, if you're Tennessee, don't you look at this game a little differently than you might in years past where, you know, you get guys in and out, and hopefully they don't get injured? But Garantano's only had 7 starts up until last week, hadn't had a lot of success. And that offensive line, you know, there's a lot of, you know, potentially good offensive linemen, but they need some reps together in a game. So, if you're Coach Pruitt, do you keep them out there maybe a little bit longer than you might have in another year?
I think you do with the offensive line because this is a unit that hadn't worked that much together. And this was something that Pruitt had pointed out. If you think about it, so Trey Smith had maybe 10 practices before the first game. Jameer Johnson, the junior college transfer, missed the first week of August practice with an illness. Now you're moving, you got Kennedy who's hurt. You're moving Ryan Johnson to center. These guys need to figure out how to play together. You got Jerome Carvin, a true freshman that might start. So I think for sure the offensive line is going to stay out there. Now they're still going to try to play some guys to build some depth, but they do need to find some unity with that group. As far as Garantano, with the commitment of Pruitt to try to get a backup quarterback, I don't know that he stays out there longer than usual. But here's the other thought about that too, Mark, going forward. You ought to be able to beat UTEP handily as well. So you might be able to 2 weeks in a row not have to worry about the final score. You should be able to blow out 2 teams in a row, which gives you another opportunity to get some snaps for Chris as well.
In terms of the secondary, how complex do you get in the next 2 weeks if you're Pruitt and Scherer? you know, as far as mixing it up, instead of just, you know, maybe playing basic coverages and get those guys a little more comfortable?
I don't know that you make it much more complex, Mark. It's going to be interesting to see. Now, and I picked up on this, too, and I've been a longtime believer of this and said this a lot. Pruitt has made the comment, you have to know what your players know, and then that's what you run. And I think, look, the Alabama defense is very complex. I've been told that by a lot of coaches that have coached under Saban. So what Tennessee has tried to do is to bring in some concepts and pick and choose the concepts that they think the players understand. And I think that early Pruitt understands we can't be having a whole lot of busted assignments and so forth. And I didn't think they had that many busts against West Virginia. There was one on a wheel route to a running back, but a lot of other times the guys knew who to guard. They just weren't able to guard them that well. So I don't know how complex he's going to get. I do think there's a chance he might try to add a little bit, maybe week to week, maybe month to month. I don't know. But I do think it's very hard to install the entire defense that Alabama ran for years. It's hard to do that the first year. I think you'll see them more complex next year and maybe building on some of that this year.
Jimmy, have you heard any reaction from Tennessee as a Nike school on the Colin Kaepernick ad campaign, how it affects recruiting? I mean, it is surely a polarizing issue, you know, with some, you know, obviously people falling on each side of it, but any buzz?
No, hadn't heard a word. Don't know if anybody's been asked either. And you know what? I'm not really sure. Pruitt's not going to say anything. And Philip Fulmer, to my knowledge, hasn't been asked about it. And I don't know that it's had any impact on recruiting. I do know there was a player that, a guy named Jaden Hill that Tennessee wanted out of Huntsville, Alabama. He actually gave quotes to one, media entity about why he was going to go to Tennessee and then he picked Florida. I don't know what led to that, but, Mark, I have not heard any buzz about that.
In terms of the running backs, Jeremy Banks, a lot of people feel like deserves more touches, maybe more than Madre London. Is he a number two? Is he a number three? Or could he be part of the three-headed monster with Chandler and Jordan?
As long as Chandler is healthy, he's no better than number three. Now, he was a number four back that played against West Virginia. I don't know how good Banks is yet. I don't know if he is better than London. Right now you're looking at Chandler and Jordan, provided Chandler plays. I wouldn't play him against ETSU. So will Banks be the number two or three back coming in against the Bucks? If that's the case, I don't know. And I'm not sure if he deserves more carries than London. I haven't seen enough of either one of them for me to make that determination. But here's the thing. I believe this with Pruitt and with some. When you come in and you're building a program, if you think the freshman is on par with the senior, you're going to play the freshman. Because you're not going real far this year anyway. So I think you try to build toward the future. But again, I don't even know if they're even. That one of the things that Pruitt also talked about was with freshman running back, and I think this was more directed at Banks because he's the only freshman running back, is pass protection. They don't always know what to do, who to pick up, how to get over there to block somebody, and you do not want to expose your quarterback with a freshman running back who does not know how to pass protect.
I think we could all agree that Tyson Helton had an interesting first game on the headset as Tennessee offensive coordinator. There were a few times where you could definitely second guess him, and then you hear Pruitt saying, that he was critical of himself for not getting more involved in the offense. Is there any connection there, and the way that a lot of people felt like Helton called the game?
Might be, and that's a conjecture on my part. I thought that there were a couple of things with health and I would have done differently. Tennessee had a second and three and then third and four, and they ran the ball to London for minus 1 yard each time. I didn't really care for that series. I actually thought Tennessee could have thrown more, and I would have thrown more on those quick hitches or slants to my receivers because they were getting such a huge cushion. I also did not agree with starting the game with a pass play like that. I'd have run the football. And of course that play blew up on him. One of the things Pruitt said, and I'm sure y'all know this, is that he criticized himself for not running the clock down more in a punting situation at the end of the first half. They punted with about a minute 52 or so, and they should have run it down to a minute 30 before they punted. Why they got in a hurry to punt, I don't know. But he called his hand on that and said he made a mistake with his time management.
Jimmy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again on Monday.
Okay, guys. Thank you.